This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, Jim.
And boy, Bridget, we've been talking about our golf outing, but it is getting closer, and we do have room for more golfers yet. We can take single golfers, people, if they want to golf as a pair or a foursome, that's great. We really can use some foursomes. So if you're looking for something to do on May 21st, that's a Tuesday, May 21st, new venue this year. We're going to be at Ironwood Golf Club at Fishers. And, well, we're really looking forward to that. They've got some high-tech golf carts there that are kind of neat that have some kind of electronic scoring and GPS.
And you can see other people's scores, right? So you can see the other team, right?
I'm not absolutely sure about that.
I heard something like that.
I have too. It looks like it'll be fun.
You can see who you're beating or who you're not beating, right?
And not only are the golf carts super, we're going to be having some great lunches and dinners too, grilled right on the spot there. Hot dogs and hamburgers for lunch and steak for dinner. So it's going to be a great time. It is May 21st. Registration starts at 10 in the morning. There'll be mass at 11, and then lunch, a shotgun start, and lots of fun all day long. Lots of prizes and some great food and a lot of fun. May 21st, you can sign up at our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. CatholicRadioIndy.org. Or you can just call us to find out more. Our number is 317-870-870. 8400.
And here at Catholic Radio, if you haven't heard, we're celebrating our own 15-year anniversary, which is actually quite miraculous in and of itself because we are listener supported. And I think when Catholic Radio started, they were kind of like, well, we'll see. We'll see if they can even get off the ground. And
yeah, we had kind of a 3-year commitment by certain people who kind of said, well, we'll help you out for 3 years, but after that, you're on your own.
We're cutting you loose, right?
And fortunately, we weren't quite ready to be cut loose at the end of 3 years.
You went back begging. Help us.
And they were generous enough to stay on with us for a while. But eventually, we did kind of climb out of that hole. And regular listeners may know that when we started Catholic Radio, we started with a $20,000 a month payment. $20,000 a month. And that was a big nut to crack, and we certainly couldn't have done it without the generous support of listeners and underwriters, and many of those that started with us 15 years ago are still with us today. So I want to say thank you very much for that, and if you haven't joined our donors yet, please, again, our website, you can do it at our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, or just call us at 317-870-8400.
So we've had generous listeners, and we have two generous guests that are in the studio, and they are very generous with their time and talent as it relates to the pro-life ministry here in Indianapolis. They are Cheryl Dye and Deborah Minot. They are sidewalk advocates of Northside Indianapolis, because they've added another one, right? Mm-hmm. Northside and Southside. Welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you.
So people might be wondering, what the heck is a sidewalk advocate, and what does that have to do with the pro-life movement?
Yeah. Well, as a sidewalk advocate, we stand outside abortion facilities and try to flag down the people coming there for services, to talk to them and to try to redirect them to a place where they will have an opportunity to make a decision to choose life. So while we're called advocates or counselors, it's more of a triage service, because we only have a very short time. I mean, they're on the driveway pulling in, but the goal is to ascertain why they're there and to be able to redirect them to other places.
Now that sounds really gutsy and bold to be able to do that. And I do want to point out that 40 Days for Life, which is going on right now, asks people to come out to various to Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And to pray for an hour or more, as much as they want. But the people that come out and pray are not actually stopping and talking to strangers and things like that.
Absolutely. We stand on opposite sides of the driveway. So the sidewalk counselors are on the south side of the driveway, and all of the prayer vigil participants are on the north side. And there's no expectation for a vigil participant to interact with a client.
So 40 Days for Life is still going on, can still use some prayer warriors.
Always.
And
we can go ahead and give that webpage if people, yeah. Isn't it 40daysforlife.org or something like that?
Well, there's two places that you can go. You can go to 40daysforlife.com or 40 Days Indy has the local information, and that's a .org.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah.
And just again to reiterate that you will be standing there peacefully praying, mm-hmm. maybe saying the rosary or praying silently, whatever, but you won't be doing what these brave ladies are doing.
So yeah, 40 Days for Life and the Sidewalk Advocates North Side Indianapolis is doing something a little bit different. So how did you get involved in maybe the pro-life ministry and then specifically this ministry? Because this is a really unique ministry. Mm-hmm. I've been at various abortion centers praying, and I was always, I mean, first that was, for me to do that was kind of terrifying to begin with. You know, when someone asks you to do that, they're like, well, you have all these perceptions of what it's going to be like. And it wasn't anything what I thought. But then the people that were actually talking to women as they would come up, I thought, wow, that's, I mean, I thought I was bold just being here. And then, but you're doing like kind of the next step. How did you get involved in this?
So I first got involved through 40 Days to 40 Days for Life.
That's
actually
how it starts, right?
Yep, that is. And
you
I would
get,
go out
hooked.
There. And I'll tell you, the first time I went out there, I was scared to death. But
I was
it was
too.
Something I felt I needed to do. And so through that, I saw the sidewalk counselors in action a little bit, but not too much, because I usually had an afternoon shift. But I was changing from a full-time employment to part-time employment and just felt called to do more in the pro-life movement. And being a former therapist many, many years ago, I thought that would be a good use of my skills for it. And so at that time, we didn't really have a training for sidewalk counselors. They were sort of loosely organized. And I contacted a couple of them, talked with them, got more information, and then came out and shadowed them and got involved that way.
So you were mentored by other sidewalk advocates.
Right.
Okay. And what about you, Deborah?
Well, I had professed that I was pro-life for my whole adult life, but I really didn't feel like I ever did anything beyond saying I'm pro-life.
Lip service?
Yeah, exactly. And then
you got to start somewhere, right?
And prayer service.
And yes. Prayer service, yeah.
Yes,
prayer service.
I certainly
You were doing yes. that.
And then I ended up retiring a little bit earlier than was really part of my plan. And I spent the first year of retirement really praying hard about, okay, God, I know that this all happened for a reason. What do you want me to do? And it really was just placed on my heart that I needed to become much more engaged. And at that time, I'm a member of St. Maria Goretti. For several weeks in a row, there was a notice in the bulletin about training to become a sidewalk counselor. And I had gone out for 40 days just a couple of times, and I observed them, and I thought, I think I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I signed up for this one-day training session, which was not what we offer today. It was very helpful in the sense of developing you spiritually, but anyway, that's how I met Cheryl. She was there really as one of the more experienced people who was coming back for a refresher. And I met Cheryl and another experienced sidewalk counselor and just said, you know what, when do you go out? I'm going to come out with you and shadow you. And that's what really got me started.
And you know what's kind of funny? Well, I'm going to reintroduce you. I'm talking with Deborah Minot and Cheryl Dye, and they are sidewalk advocates on the north side of Indianapolis. And I don't think I've ever seen you two not together. And I have kind of a feeling that, like, even in our email conversations, it sounds like you two are always together. Is that true, or do you guys actually live in separate places?
Oh, we live quite a ways away.
But you almost always go to the abortion facility together. Do you guys have the same, or do you have different times?
We used to do that, Bridget,
okay.
But because of some changes among our current sidewalk counselors and some health issues that developed, we really couldn't afford the luxury of two sidewalk counselors together because in many cases we have a sidewalk counselor and a prayer partner stationed there. Anyway, that's a long way of saying I moved to Tuesdays now, so I'm not with Cheryl. It was a very difficult adjustment, however.
Yeah, I'm Irish. I can never, I can, challenge me to tell a long story short. It just doesn't happen, you know. Jim knows that. We stay in the studio and talk about all sorts of stuff after the show, but we're talking now. Mm. So what's the need, I guess, in terms of sidewalk counselors? Is there a certain type of a person that you want to attract or that would make a good sidewalk? I know you're going to have a training. It's May 4th coming up in about a month. All day at the First Choice office from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Is that right?
Right.
And we'll give you more details about that. Mm-hmm. But so what do you look for? What kind of qualities? Is there a certain person that...
There's not a certain person. I mean, the main thing is that you have a desire to do more and you have a desire to reach out. Really, we're the hands and feet of Christ for these women coming in, and for the men, too, coming in, and to let them know that there's more options out there for them and there's help available, and that they can save themselves from this life of regret afterwards. And so God will use whatever talent you have or whatever personality you have, or whether you're male or female or young or old. So we have a wide range of counselors. We have very outgoing, talkative, you know.
That would be me.
counselors. We have very quiet, prayerful, you know, patient, relaxed counselors. We have men counselors, women counselors, young counselors, old counselors. So God, really, it's just the desire there. And God will use those talents to help.
So we're going to take a break in about 2 minutes. But before we do, can you describe what it is like to be there? Because I think we have a lot of bad media imagery that doesn't really depict what my experience was at an abortion center. What's it been like for you to be there? Describe what you do.
Well, first of all, I would say it is a very peaceful experience. I mean, so many times,
ironically,
people want to refer to us as protesters, and we're not protesting. We're there out of love with help for the people coming in. So on a given day, the emotions that you might experience, certainly number one is just frustration when cars pull in and sometimes even speed up as they're going by you because you can't get them to stop. They won't even make eye contact. But when you do have an opportunity to actually talk to a car or the occupants of a car because they've stopped, there's just so much hope and so much opportunity. And sometimes you're able to make an immediate impact and they literally turn around and go to Women's Care next door. And other times you've had a great conversation and they still go in and you know there's hope. And that's when we spend time praying. I mean, we spend a lot of time praying because there is a lot of downtime in a typical 2.5 hour shift.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and learn more about what you're doing and how more people can get involved. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
The Spring 40 Days for Life campaign will take place March 6th through April 14th. This peaceful, prayerful vigil will be held from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 7 p.m. on Sunday outside the Planned Parenthood offices at 8590 Georgetown Road. Join pro-lifers from across central Indiana in praying to change hearts and save lives. For more information or to sign up to participate, go to 40daysindy.org. 40 days, peaceful, prayerful, and powerful.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
Take Catholic Radio Indy's 40 Days of Lent Challenge. During Lent, listen to at least 1 hour of Catholic radio each day. If you're already a daily listener, add an hour each day or pick a different time to listen. Or, if you really want to go all in, listen exclusively to Catholic Radio Indy from now until Easter. Spend 40 days with Catholic Radio Indy and see what a difference 100% Catholic programming 24/7 makes.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's at my side, and we are in the studio here with Cheryl Dye and Deborah Minot. They are sidewalk advocates on the north side of Indianapolis, and they're actually sponsored by the Gabriel Project. Talk about that. And one thing we were talking off the air about is that years ago when people were pro-life, that was great, but there really wasn't a lot of organized support. Mm-hmm. In terms of if someone finds themselves in a crisis pregnancy, okay, yeah, don't have an abortion, but okay, well now what do I do, yeah. You know? But now things have changed a lot in terms of actually on-the-ground support for mm-hmm. women who are in a crisis pregnancy center. There's the Women's Care Center, there's the Gabriel Project, and the O'Connor House, mm-hmm. are just three that I can rattle off just in our area. You want to talk about any one of those? Maybe start with the Gabriel Project.
We're very blessed here in Indianapolis. We have a plethora of support out there.
We do.
And we are sponsored by the Gabriel Project, who are a crisis pregnancy resource center. And so the women that we hook, and we have two options for the women, the Women's Care Center next door or the Gabriel Project. When they go with the Gabriel Project, they're hooked up with a Gabriel Angel through in a local parish. And that parish helps them throughout the pregnancy and beyond. They have women that have stayed with their angels for 3-4 years. So there's a lot of support out there.
So it's women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy, they have support. And there's a lot of different ways that they can have support. And I think, you know, just for our listeners, someone put this in perspective for me, and I wanted to share it with you. There were 6 million Jews who were executed by the Nazis during World War II. And in the United States since 1973, since Roe v. Wade, there have been 60 million Americans who have died through abortion. No, that's just surgical abortion. We're not even, and that's just what we know. Mm-hmm. That's been reported on the voluntary termination of pregnancy reports that the states collect. That's just based. Those are the hard numbers that we have, roughly. So I think, you know, so abortion accounts for 10 times what happened in mm-hmm. Nazi Germany. And in a way, I think what's worse about that is that we live in a free country. You know, the during Germany, a lot of the people they couldn't really stop what the Germans were doing. Mm-hmm. Even the German soldiers, you know, they would have been executed, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But at least we're in a free society. So in some ways, when I think about that, I'm a poli-sci major and I think mm-hmm. about these things all the time, but I think this is so much worse because we're in a democracy.
Right.
And so anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. But so in terms of the 40 Days for Life and in terms of the sidewalk counseling, what's involved in the training that's coming up on May 4th?
Well, we'll have a day long, as you mentioned, from 9 to 3. And we're able to use training videos that come from the Sidewalk Advocates National organization. Oh. And they're very well set up so that you have a segment and then you have time to ask some questions, review some points, and have discussion. And so over the course of the day, we will use those videos, and they cover everything from sort of the basics of what is it like to have an interaction standing outside an abortion facility to let's talk about special cases. Let's talk about dealing with the dads. Let's talk about women who have come to the facility for other women's services. And so they break it down into all these various topics. And also include some opportunities to do role-playing as well.
So what, in your experience, maybe do you want to share a story of maybe one of your interactions? And again, there's actually 4 abortion centers in the Indianapolis area, or there are three now. Where are they located, roughly?
The one where we counsel at is at the Planned Parenthood at 86th and Georgetown Road, and it is the largest abortion facility in the state. Last numbers I saw, about 40% of the abortions that are done here. And then there is one at 12th in Arlington.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then one out on West 16th Street.
So do we have an estimate of how many abortions are happening in Indiana, roughly?
The last numbers we have were from 2017, and it was 7,778.
So just under 10,000. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. 10,000 Hoosiers that are not going to be here.
Yeah.
So when you're actually doing your counseling, I assume that some of the people, as you mentioned, turn away, others go in, mm-hmm. and you have all kinds of different experiences. Is there any single experience that you can think of where you've talked to a particular person and had a particular outcome that was really sticks with you?
Yes, and for me, it was just a few months ago. I was out there, and my partner hadn't even shown up yet. And a lovely, relatively young woman in her 20s, probably from the Caribbean, because she kind of spoke with that rhythmic accent. She came, and she was so upset, but she stopped. And I could see immediately that she was really, really troubled. And I said, "Are you here for a pregnancy test?" And she said, "Yes, I have to get rid of this." And I said, "Now, let's just take a minute here. You know, this is not the best place for you to be. You need to be somewhere where they're going to love you and listen to you and really find out what's going on in your life." And I told her more about how the Women's Care Center would be able to help her. And I said, "And I'll walk right over with you and take you over there and introduce you." So I said, "You just turn around your car." I gave her directions, and I'll meet you in the parking lot. Well, I did. And in the meantime, I called Women's Care and just let them know that I was bringing someone who was very, very upset. By the time we got there, she was crying. So I introduced her, but what was so beautiful is about an hour and a half later, she was leaving the Women's Care Center. I was still on the sidewalk, and she waved at me and stopped and just huge smile. "Thank you so much. I feel so happy and hopeful." And it was just, and that's the part we don't often know about, but it was probably one of the most beautiful experiences I had.
Well, I think, women that find themselves in a crisis pregnancy are really completely stressed out. Mm-hmm. They're, maybe they're having even depression. Maybe they've been alienated by their family. If they've told people, maybe they've been blown off by their boyfriend mm-hmm. or pressured to have an abortion. It is just a really right. awful time. And the lie is, okay, they're going to get rid of their problem. But one of the priests that I know well has said all the women who have had abortions that he has counseled mm-hmm. have said that abortion's a life sentence, that it doesn't resolve the problem. In fact, it creates new ones, and that's what his analogy or his assessment of it is, that the women that he's counseled that abortion's a life sentence, and that's an awful thought, yeah. And so you're people that have been on the other side of that know the pain that mm-hmm. has been created by going forward with the free choice. Yeah, we have a free right. will. And that's why I think people are trying to help them, not just save the baby, but they're trying to save the mother from, or help the mother mm-hmm. make a really rational choice.
Yeah. We, unfortunately, because society says it's no big deal nowadays, women don't understand till afterwards right. what happens. We had a woman come in a couple months ago. She stopped as she was leaving, and she had actually had her abortion a year ago and came back for the ultrasound picture of the baby. And she said, "I just can't stop thinking about this. I can't stop crying. I can't," they don't understand till afterwards what's going to be their reality.
And sometimes people don't connect it to the abortion. They right. find themselves in depression. So there is hope, though, and you are trying to encourage people to come out for this training session. Tell us a little bit about what's going to happen exactly.
Well, like Deborah said earlier in the training session, it's a very comprehensive look at what it's like out on the sidewalk. After you do your training that day, you mm-hmm. set up two shadow appointments. So you'll go out and shadow with an experienced sidewalk counselor. We like to do one abortion day and then one non-abortion day. So some days they'll just have counseling sessions or other medical services. And then after that, you discern your role in it and what hours you can do. Our goal, right now we have every morning filled and then another two other afternoon shifts that are about 2 hours. Our goal is to get every hour that Planned Parenthood is open, we should have a counselor out there. But that's going to take a lot. We need a lot of people to step up and to help us out because it's so needed.
So how many would that be? Like how many, like in terms of numbers, like roughly, how many sidewalk counselors do you have, I guess, just on the north side, which is what you're kind mm-hmm. of covering? Right. And then how many would you like to have ideally? Yeah. In terms of recruitment, you know, people listening,
right.
like, I'm really needed.
We have 14 regulars.
Okay, that's quite a few.
But when you consider that you need two per shift, mm-hmm. And then we do have some others trained that serve as substitutes, but I would say we need at least 25 more, at least.
So people, yeah. How can people start the process? Can they call you and ask questions before they come? Can they just show up yeah. And is there like a fee for the training, or give me some
there
more details about the training?
$10 for the training. That's your lunch and then your materials for it. So we try to keep it very, you know, minimal. They can email me at Cheryl, Sheryl, at goangels.org. Or if you go to eventbrite.com mm-hmm. and search for Sidewalk Advocates training in Indianapolis, it should be the first one that pops up. And if you get on that, then we will contact you.
So they can email you and ask questions and mm-hmm. say, is this right for me? And how can they discern whether they should give it a shot? What encouraging words would you say, I guess, from your experience, how would you encourage someone listening to think maybe this is for me? You know, maybe people are on the sidelines, mm-hmm. they're pro-life, but they really haven't maybe as engaged as much.
I think the number one thing I hear from people is the fear. And to really discern, is your desire to be out there and to help these women get you past that fear? Because once you're out there, really, the fear goes away. I mean, like I said, I was terrified. Mm-hmm. The fear goes away, and God is there to help you, to give you the words you need.
Well, thank you so much, ladies, for the generosity that you share for the women of Indianapolis and all those people that you're praying for. My guests today have been Cheryl Dye and Deborah Minot, Sidewalk Counselors of the North Side, Indianapolis. Thanks
thank
so much for being
thank
our guest.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.